Experiences have a huge influence on our lives, don't they? It doesn't take you long as a child to discover that if you touch something hot, it hurts. So hopefully you stop touching things that are hot. That's what experience is meant to do. But as we grow up and we have other experiences that we can evaluate maybe more clearly than the simple reaction of touching something hot and so on and training our reflexes. So also experiences have different effects on us. Some of you, I guess, will look back to what the songwriter calls the joy of the old school days. Anybody want to feel like that? Think back to when they were young? Others maybe will think to the horror and grief and fear that the fear of danger brings, having been confronted with some awful situations. Others of us maybe will think of the experience of joy that we got from such and such or so and so. And in each case, we take those experiences and we evaluate them and we make something of them or not. We're wise, aren't we? If we take our experience and we recognize that experience in, as my brother calls it, the school of life, is something which is vital if we're going to be effective people as we move on in our lives. But the sad part is that people too often do not learn from their experience, and they don't evaluate carefully, and they don't take what they've been through and work to educate themselves so that they know not only not to touch a hot thing, but they know not to do so and so, or not to go so where, or to see things in a particular way. And sometimes that can be because we're just so thick-skinned that we don't notice. And sometimes it can be just plain thoughtless, that we fail to remember what happened last time and we make the same mistake time after time. I have to tell you, when I was at school, I thought that history was the most boring subject available, so I didn't bother to study it very far. As I've grown older, I've started to recognize that history is the most vital subject available, so that we can take what has happened in the past and learn from it, because always it must be evaluated with the sovereignty of God in mind, that it really is His story. And when it comes, therefore, to important things, we simply cannot make the mistake of not evaluating our experiences and learning from them. And when it comes to eternal matters, that just must not be, which is why Moses is so emphatic when he addresses the people of God on their experience of their encounter with God. Verse 9 of chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, he takes them by the scruff of the neck and he yells in their ear. Verse 9, only be careful, guard yourselves. Only be careful, he says, and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. What's he been telling them about for the last few verses? Well, we looked at it this morning, didn't we? See, he said, I've taught you these decrees in law. You remember, the taught is, not that he's done it, but there's an immediacy to it. It's a done deal. You must grasp this. I've taught you these decrees and laws, as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're going to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding, and so on, and so on, and so on. And we understood, didn't we, at that point, that law in this context does not mean why we mustn't go over 30 miles an hour in a built-up area. But law in this context is taken from that vision of an arrow, which is where the word Torah comes from, the Hebrew word for law. And it's as though the guy that's telling everybody where to go is trying to point and he can't quite manage it, so he takes an arrow and he fires it in exactly the right direction, and as people follow the direction of the arrow, he's effectively saying, this way, everybody. And Moses, having told them how they must treat the law of God, the this way, everybody, law of God, must be extremely careful. The phrase is really quite unique. Almost unique in Scripture, not quite. But pretty startling. Look, it's almost as though he's tumbling over himself. Another friend of mine would call this a belt and braces approach as it were, to making sure everybody's understood it. You know, when you put on a pair of trousers, you only need belt or you only need a braces to keep them up, one or the other. Well, this is belt and braces on Moses' part. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Be extremely careful to guard yourselves from forgetting. Literally, he says, keep yourselves. Guard your souls from forgetting. Actually, I say it's unique, it's not quite unique. And it's a theme that keeps on coming up in this great sermon of Moses that we call the Book of Deuteronomy. And it keeps on coming up with good reason, because these people are just like us. They're good at forgetting, and they're good at not bothering to evaluate. They're good at just forgetting what God has done for them. You saw it as we've been in Exodus on these Sunday mornings before the summer break began. Time and again, it didn't take them long for having crossed through the Red Sea to suddenly start grumbling about how good it was back in Egypt, where they'd been grumbling under the strain of being in Egypt as slaves. And it didn't take them long from God having provided them with water to start grumbling about the fact that God didn't know what on earth he was doing and how come they were hungry now. And it didn't take them long, and you see how it goes? They're just like us. Well, can I say just like me? Where constantly they forget how good God is. And Moses does not want them to do that. But there is an even stronger sense about what Moses is saying here. I wonder if you'd noticed it as we read the passage through, as Michael read it through a moment ago. He doesn't just say, don't forget, and be careful not to forget what it is your eyes have seen, and let them slip from your heart. He takes them by the scruff of the neck and he underlines it for them. I've said it already to some extent, but there's something more than just don't forget here, isn't there? He says, don't let it slip from your heart. Here is an acknowledgement that their experience of God, their grasp of who he is and what he's done, their privilege at being given the law, the this way everybody, the this is how you're to respond to God, idea. Their privilege at being given the law, the understanding we saw this morning, is very much more than merely external observance. It's not just a question of what they do on the outside. For the people of God, relationship with God is a matter of heart and soul, not just of behavior, isn't it? Which is why he so wants them to grasp it so carefully. You have been through such a lot. Bear in mind, by the time we get to Deuteronomy chapter 4, as we looked at very briefly this morning, if you weren't here, let me just briefly remind you of what's going on. These people have already been through 40 years in the desert. They've already been redeemed by God. They've already been bought back through the blood of the Lamb in the Passover feast. Many of them have died in the desert. In fact, all the previous generation have died in the desert. We're going to look at that point in a moment. But here they are on the verge of the promised land. And Moses is telling them again, be careful, watch your souls, guard yourselves carefully, not to forget the things your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your heart, from your insides, from your reason, from your priorities, from your hopes and dreams and fears. When asked what the greatest commandment was, the Lord Jesus had to reply on numerous different occasions, one in particular. The greatest commandment, he said, summarizing the first three, is love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. To people looking on at any kind of relationship with God, that will come as a surprise. For we live in a world where religion is a case of what people do on the outside, isn't it? What offerings they can bring, what service they can render to God, how well they can keep the law, with the understanding law means not going over 30 miles per hour in a built-up zone, and law understood that way. Moses doesn't say that at all. He says, guard your soul. Watch your heart. keep it on the inside of you. And be careful to do so. And not just keep it on the inside of you, but keep it as best you can on the inside of your children. Teach your children, he says. Only be careful. Watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Some people will argue that it is vital not to teach children the Bible and what matters about God. Because children, after all, when they grow up, should be free to make up their own mind about these things. It's a very politically correct way of viewing the world, and it's a very postmodern, actually, way of viewing the world. When they grow up, well, let them make up their own minds, is how the argument goes. But I wonder how many people who say that in practice really mean it. Have you heard people saying that to you? You see, I wonder how many such parents protect their children from the pervasive and maligning influence of materialism in reality. Whether really they apply that same rule about God to the God of materialism and comfort. I suspect maybe they don't. I wonder really if the people that argue that about teaching children about God stop their children receiving messages from the media that there is no God and that there are no absolutes but that every belief is equal. I wonder if they teach their children that or protect them from it. I doubt it. I wonder if those same people correct the constant expression of their own lives that there is no God to take notice of anyway. I wonder if they protect their children from that. I doubt it very much. Truth needs teaching because in a broken world, lies are all too alive. Which is why Moses says, keep this truth, this certainty, this experience that you have been through, keep it on the inside and as the very best you can, get it on the inside of your children and on the inside of their children. Why? Because you need to remember who you belong to. Verse 10. Remember, he says, the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble a people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. We're going to see in a couple of weeks' time when we look at Exodus chapter 19 and 20 that it was quite some occasion for them to remember. But just who was it that stood before the Lord right then, 40 years ago? You see, remember again, it's 40 years since that happened. 40 years between that incident and this address by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, where he starts off with the words to the people, is really quite clear. Just look across at verse 35. When they would not go into the promised land, but rebelled against the Lord, the last time they stood on exactly the same place as they're standing now. Verse 32, in spite of all this, in spite of what God has done for you, you did not trust in the Lord your God who went ahead of you on your journey, in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places where you should camp and show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers. Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Of all of that generation who had the experience that Moses is referring to now, only one single one, well, actually two of them, Caleb and Joshua, are still alive. How then can Moses look at this people and say, only be careful and do not forget what you saw on that day? I guess it could simply be that the current crowd were children at the time. That's a possibility. It's only 40 years ago. They could have been 5 and 6 and 7 and 10 year olds, I suppose. That's part of it.
Maybe they were the little ones who stood before the Lord at the mountain. But as Moses addresses the people, he's reminding them of something really very important. He is underlining to them what, let's call it, their corporate position. He's underlining to them what happened to them as a nation. You're the people of God. You have the privilege of having the law of God. You have the privilege of belonging to God, of having been bought by God. You have the privilege of having been redeemed. So you, corporately, must remember what happened to you corporately as a nation. And you're to teach your children what happened to you. And they're to teach their children what happened to you. That is how they stood before God, so that God could be revered. In the book of Proverbs, it says in Proverbs 15 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then we read this morning in the earlier part of the passage that Michael read, that the people who observe the law of God may be regarded as a wise and understanding people. Do you see the point? Here is the bought, the redeemed people of God, and as they gather together before the Lord, as they remember what God has done for them, so they learn to revere the Lord, and they start on the road to wisdom, says Proverbs. And as they hear the law of God, and they apply it in their lives because they revere Him, so everybody else sees that they are a wise people, but more to the point that they have a great God. God wants these people to grasp where they stand, and that as the redeemed people of God, they stand before Him, God, the Lord, whom they are to fear and revere if they are to be wise. That's the picture that Moses is painting. Remember that day. Remember what you saw. Teach it to your children. As long as they live in the land, may they teach them to their children. As a nation, this is the point that you must apply. Relating to God means relating to God on His terms. Relating to God means taking notice of that day when God said, through me, this way, everybody. And they're only going to do that if they remember. But how are they to remember? What is it that God says? What is it that Moses, inspired by God, tells this people of God there to remember? Remember what he looked like when you stood there on the mountain? Maybe, but they didn't actually see anything, did they? Remember the thunder and lightning when you stood on the mountain? Well, okay, that would be good to remember, but there's other occasions of thunder and lightning. Remember the sound of his voice? I wonder if really after 40 years they're able to do that if they were children. I doubt it, and their children certainly won't. What is it they are to remember when they teach their children and their children teach their children as long as they live in the land? Verse 11, you came near and you stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow. And then he wrote them on two stone tablets. What are they to remember as they remember God? Not what he looked like, because they didn't know. Not the sound of the thunder, though that was there. Not the sound of his voice, because I'm sure they couldn't remember that. They are to remember what he said. That's what Moses wants them to guard themselves carefully. To remember what he said. To remember that they have a God who speaks, whose words they must take notice of. They saw no form, verse 12 says. They heard only a voice and what he said. These are the people who are to guard themselves from failing to remember to revere the Lord and thereby to take seriously what he said. For these people, are already in relationship with the Lord, and it's vital that they maintain their grasp of that relationship through what he said to them. The two tablets of stone, as we're going to see later in Exodus, were placed in the center of this box, as I'm sure most of you know, in this box that they call the Ark, and that was placed at the center of their camp. And that in its own right underlined to the people of God that at the very center of their life together and the very center of their relationship with God was this priority, maintains this priority, continues this priority of what he said, that God's people could only know God through his word. It's not primarily through what they do, though of course they seek to serve him. It's not primarily through what they can see, they're not to make any images anyway. It's through what he said, and through what he is still saying, and through what he will go on saying through his word. Verse 14, "And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and the laws you are to follow in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." Picture the scene again in your mind's eye. They're on the verge of the promised land. They're the bought back people of God. God has done so much for them. They've rebelled and he has loved them anyway, and he has kept his promises to them for 40 years. They're on the verge of the promised land. And they have all this history behind them, on all that God has done, but most of all that God has said. And Moses has to remind them to keep remembering what God has said so that they revere him and treat him as God and do what he says when they go into this promised land. Now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and they're to teach their children, and their children are to teach their children, and their children are to teach their children, and so on. What on earth has all of this got to do with you and me? Well, we stand, as we saw this morning, as the redeemed people of God, if you're a Christian tonight. And we have a Bible that seems at times so far removed from our experience, and yet so up to date in some mysterious way. And what we must grasp as we begin next week again in the New Testament and in the Old Testament to look at the law of God is that his revelation of himself every day lies at the center of the relationship between the Lord and the people he has redeemed. What God said then, he is saying now to us by his Spirit. And if that sounds a bit off beam, just think for a moment of what the Lord Jesus said that we considered briefly this morning, right at the start of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 70. Do turn to it, because I want to turn you to another section of Matthew as well. We read it at the end of our time together this morning. Jesus said, "Do not think," Matthew 5:17, page 683. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Christ fulfills what Moses said. But look at verse chapter 7 and verse 24. Moses has told the people of God that their relationship with God is going to be centered on what he said. So Jesus tells us, "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, The streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The redeemed people of God have their relationship with God founded on what He has said. And we always are faced with a choice: to remember not to forget, or simply to forget. Let's pray for one another that we may take seriously what He says to us through His word, and in the coming weeks, as we get to grips with the law of God in Exodus and in Matthew, that we will put into practice what He says and so show what He is like and His greatness in our lives.